Thank you for listening to this edition of The Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes Sundays from 12 to 1 on 107.7 The Bronx and also on every podcasting platform.
107.7 The Bronx, 107.7TheBronx.com. Proudly nominated for a National Association of Broadcasters 2019 Marconi Award for Best College Radio Station of the Year. And live from the Ryan University Studios, it's The Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasana, and alongside me today is Sean Johnson and our two guests for this show. I'm very excited for them to be on. Our good friend, longtime guest of the show, Ryan Reynolds, is with us. And finally, I was able to track him down and get him on the show for the first time. Malcolm Roundtree is with us. Boys, how you doing? It's great that, you know, you guys are on. We're ready to, rock and roll.
Ready to rock, baby. Let's get it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on for the first time.
Yeah, no problem. And as you guys probably noticed, I did not say Dom DeRosa or No Gugliotta or Googs. Otherwise known as Googs. They are not with us. They might be joining us later in the show. If and when we get into some baseball talk, I don't know if we will because of the guests that we have on today. I want to cater to them. But we're going to start with basketball. It's wrapping up. It's wrapping up fast. Playoff pictures are slowly becoming... we're slowly starting to see the picture. The Nets, my team, and Reynolds Sixers, we kind of locked it up. It's just a battle between us, the Bucks, of who's going to get that 1-2-3. But your Knicks, sitting fourth right now, looking pretty good. Julius Randle, possible MVP candidate. However, there is a discrepancy between that 4-6, then 1-3. Because like the 1-3 is kind of just like we're in our own little bubble, at least. You guys are in your own little bubble, too, where like if you lose two games, you're sixth. So, you know, you guys, I'll start with you guys first. You know, how crucial are these next couple of weeks for you guys? Because really, this can make or break the seeding and where you play. Now, I'll start with, I'll start with you, Malcolm. Yeah. What are your thoughts on these next couple of games? Because you said it's going to be tough. You got a lot of tough matchups, too.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be tough. I mean, as we said, we play like the Clippers as in our next game, which is a tough matchup. We just played Phoenix, which is a very tough matchup as their number one seed. But I don't know if we can just keep playing. It seems like Tibbs likes having the group play as a team, you know, all for one for all. So if we keep that mentality and just keep on trucking, I think we should do it. We should be able to make it through. I mean, hopefully, I really don't want to play in a playing game. Those games are kind of scary, especially if we have to go against like the Wizards or something like that. I'd be really scared. I just want to lock up like a 4 or 5 seed. That'd be good for us. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, and then Sean, like if you were to lose those couple games, right, and you do have to play the playing game, like are first of all, are you a fan of it, of how it's played out? Because we talked about it before the show and how it's laid out very odd in a sense, right? Because it's like 7 and 8 play and 9 and 10, it's like, okay, that kind of doesn't make sense. Because then that means the 7th or 8th seed doesn't get in the playoffs. So it's like, okay, that just, it's not fair to them, but a 9 and 10 makes it. So like, what are your thoughts on that? And like, if you were in that situation, how upset would you be? And is LeBron's argument justified because of that? Because he basically came out and said, this is total BS.
I was a fan of the playing game last season. I thought they did a pretty good job with it then, where it was the 8 and 9 seed play. And I think, you know, that's respectable. You know, we had a short season. Everybody was like, you know, COVID was affecting a lot of teams, which is understandable. So I think giving the 8 and 9 seed was a good way to do it. But I think the 7 through 10 is a little too much, especially the way that they're formatting it this season. Because, I mean, the way that the 7 and 8 seed play and then the 9 and 10 seed play, I think if you're the 7 seed, you know, you should have a little bit of an advantage. You should play the worst of the 4 teams.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not necessarily a big fan of it. Now, in the case of the Knicks, if we do make it there, I like our chances against pretty much anybody in the lower side of the East. I think we've definitely proved ourselves against them. Only one I'd be a little bit, scared about would be Miami if they fall with us down there. But I don't see both of us making it down there and playing each other. So regardless, I do like the Knicks' odds there. And now to get to LeBron's point of view, I think he is very controversial with that because he started off saying, oh, you know, the playing game, that's a great opportunity for some of those guys down there. And then the Lakers go and lose like 100 straight. And now they're down there. And he's like, yeah, whoever came up with this needs to be fired. So, you know, I think he just needs to calm down a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Reynolds, obviously, you don't have to worry about that. you're chilling atop the East. You know, it looks like you guys could probably lock it up if you guys stay up on. You guys probably have, because like you said earlier, you're not playing, you're playing the bottom of the bottom, the worst of the worst. It must be pretty nice knowing that you could play these games, win, and rest your starters.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, I definitely have to still pay attention. I mean, that's going to be my first round matchup. So I'm just taking a look at the standings. Right, like you said, AC, but the gap between Philly, Milwaukee, and Brooklyn, you guys, you and Milwaukee are three games behind.
Yes.
The Knicks are 9 games behind. Atlanta's 9.5. Miami's 10. And Boston's 11. So like you said earlier, it's a... any game, these next few games are crucial. And like you said, I mean, the Sixers, like tonight we're playing the Pistons. Like, I think the hardest team we have to play the rest of the season is the Heat. I think we have to play the Pistons, the Heat, and I think Orlando twice.
Orlando, yeah, you guys are
like that. I mean, like, I will talk about it later, but it's very important for Philly to get the number one seed.
Yeah,
but also, I was just taking a look at the West. It's a little bit different. It's kind of. You have Utah and Phoenix, who are, Phoenix is 1 game behind. Clippers are 4 games behind. Denver's 5. But then you get 5th seed Dallas is 10 games behind first. Portland's 11. The Lakers are 12. And then it's, that's, the Lakers are 7th seed. And then you have the Warriors, Grizzlies, and Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, the playing, I mean, it's kind of funny that LeBron's roasting the playing game when his team's going to be playing in there. So it'll be interesting because, in reality, the Lakers could be the most dangerous 7th seed to ever play in the NBA. You never know what's going to happen in this playoffs.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, they could be. And then also, you know, you talk about them, and it's like, you know, they get Drummond, you know, AD and LeBron come back, and then LeBron said a couple weeks ago that he's like, I'll never be the same again. And that kind of was like the red flag alert, like, okay, something's wrong. And then, right, they're still losing. AD went down with back spasms. Now he just came back, but, right, those could flare up again.
Yeah, they lost to Toronto this past weekend. I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, so now they're not looking so hot right now. So, you know, what do you, like, first of all, you know, Malcolm, we'll start with you. You know, obviously, you know, you're a big NBA fan. Obviously, you know, no matter what, everyone's gonna love LeBron. You can hate him as much as you want, but you still love his game. How, when he said those comments a couple weeks ago, how concerning was that for you as a fan, knowing that, like, this is, because in my head I was like, this is the beginning of the end. Now we are at that point where you can say that this is the beginning of the end for LeBron's career. So what came through your mind when you heard that? Because it's going to be weird in a couple of years when we don't see him anymore.
Yeah, so when I heard him talking about, like, whoever came up with this BS or whatever should be fired or whatever, I thought that was kind of scary, just because I feel like in a way he's kind of scared to be in that position, you know, where it's like one game and he's out, especially if he has to play. I mean, I think they should beat the Warriors if they end up playing the Warriors, but still, you know, the beef, or not beef, but, you know, the long battles that they had, Warriors and LeBron, basically. So, you know, it's kind of scary to see. And, yeah, I think I heard Max Kellerman talking about it on a show the other day about the cliff coming for LeBron James. So, I mean, I think they'll play in, at least to see Bronny play in the NBA, hopefully. But I think it is coming to an end soon. But he's still putting up crazy numbers. Like, I think he's only, like, 2 points off his, like, career average in points. And he's still – he is dealing with some injuries. I see he just got injured again. I think it was like a sprain or something like that.
Yeah, he activated his original ankle injury.
Yeah, so, you know, as you get older, you know, your body can't, you know, go all those minutes like he's used to doing. And, you know, so, some injuries, you know, he might be able to, like, shrug those off a couple seasons ago. But now, you know, he kind of has to watch himself and prepare for these, like, 82-game seasons. I don't know if it's going to be an 82-game season next year, but – that's 10 more games that he's going to have to be available for. So, you know, it is kind of scary seeing LeBron do that. But in the end, I think the league is in a good place with some of the young stars that we have going in. So, you know, we will miss LeBron, but we still have some good talent in the league still.
Yeah, and I want to get to that because you brought up the injury thing, right? And a thing that's also been really prevalent this year for, I guess, my team and Reynolds' teams and all the big teams, not really necessarily your team, because Thibodeau's not really – he's not that kind of coach, but, right, injury management, this load management stuff. You know, Reynolds, you know, you talked about this. Embiid's only playing 25 minutes a game now. He has a blown teams out. He'll rest. You know, Simmons will, you know, he'll rest as well. You know, what are your thoughts on that? Do you like that? Do you hate it? Are you annoyed? Do you want to see them play more?
I think it's a mix of everything, right? So, like, for example, I went with Malcolm to a Sixers game, right?
Yes.
And we played the Clippers. So when you think about that, you got Ben Simmons, you've got Kawhi Leonard, Joel Embiid.
Paul George.
And Kawhi's not playing. And it's, as a fan, when you go to these games, it's like you want to see all the stars play. I mean, thank God the Sixers won, but like, but also, I want my squad to be fully healthy come playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
If we need to rest a guy and possibly be in a battle with, like last night, the Sixers only won by 2 against the Pelicans. The other week, the other day, we played the Bulls, and the Bulls went on a 23-5 run because starters were all out.
Yeah.
But as long as we're winning the game, like, I don't really care. Because come the playoff time, when our full squad plays, I know we can pretty much beat anyone on the court.
Right. I think it's that happy balance you have to find. I think it frustrates people when it's like the big games and they're sitting out.
Yeah.
I think that's what annoys the people, because I know for us, like, that's happened a lot, where like KD will sit a back to back, and I'm just like, and it's not even really a back to back. Like he played, I remember once, like, he just came back from injury, played the Timberwolves, he played really well. Then the next game was, I think, Thursday or Friday, and he sat out. I was like, why are you sitting out? Because I don't think that helps. I feel like he needs the reps ready to get ready for the playoffs, but, you know, I'm not Steve Nash, I'm not Sean Marks. But for your guys' sake, Tom Thibodeau is not like that. He runs them to the ground, right? That's what he's known for. That's what people have said previously about why Derrick Rose possibly got injured, because he worked them so hard. So, you know, it obviously, right, it's worked for you guys because you guys are where you are today, 14, really, you know, rejuvenating yourself as a franchise. But does that concern you from your aspect of, like, okay, the injuries could come? Or in a sense, right, if they do make the playoffs, right, will they get too gassed? You know, Sean, I'll start with you. Do you think they'll get too gassed come playoff time because of the minutes? Because, right, Randle really hasn't missed a game. He's been playing some crazy minutes, putting up ridiculous numbers in that process, but, right, you know, how much can he carry that, and can everybody else really step up and help him?
You know, I think these players are superstars, so, you know, they're used to getting minutes like that. So I think them having, you know, breaks here and there is not really going to have that much of an impact come playoff time, because, you know, like I said, most of these guys have been there. They know how playoffs are. I think they'll be able to get through and, you know, really put their minutes in the, you know, good time or whatever. But regardless, kind of getting into that injury management really quick, I know Reynolds covered it a little bit, but I think, although it sucks for people like us, you know, fans wanting to watch, like, you know, you go to a game, obviously, like Ryan said, you want to see everybody there, like, you want to see all the big stars. But, you know, the sad part about it is, like, we've seen so many injuries this year, like, more than ever, I feel like, and to a lot of the big guys too. So, you know, you also have to take them into, you have to see from their point of view. Like, you know, we've seen guys like Dinwiddie went down early in the season for the year. John Wall, he got put away for the year. I don't know why I can't think right now of
Jamal Murray.
There you go. Jamal Murray. That's right. Like I said, I'm just having a brain block right now on the rest of them. But yeah, like I said, there's so many injuries that we've seen. And to kind of recap, yeah, these guys, they've been there before. They know how the playoffs are like. They know that, you know, it's going to be, you know, get it all over with then, you know, put your whole body on the line. And then afterwards, you know, you'll have to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, I agree. It's a love-hate relationship. It's like you like it sometimes when you're sitting pretty, and then it's like when you're not and you need these games, or you want to just see them play, they're not playing, you're like, you just throw your hands in the air. I've done that a couple of times. I'm sure all you guys have at one point or another. But we got to take a quick break. You know, Malcolm and Ryan are with us today. We got a lot more to talk about with the NBA. We're also going to dabble into some soccer for the first time since these two guys are with us. Get more information about their teams with Man United. That's Malcolm's team. Reynolds and Sean, big Arsenal fans, talk about where they're at. And also the Super League that's causing a lot of controversy within the soccer community. So all that and more coming up on the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Ryder University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Anthony Colasano. And alongside me today is Sean Johnson. And our two guests for today's show, Ryan Reynolds and Malcolm Roundtree. So in the first segment, we kind of just, you know, kind of just did an overview of the NBA, you know, where the league is at right now, where our teams are at, how we're feeling, you know, going into the playoffs as we slowly wrap up the season. And this time we're going to talk about really who we kind of want to see in terms of matchups for our teams. You know, I know for me, a big matchup that I kind of want to see both, just for me as a fan, just so that'd be fun, and that I know that we can win, is the Knicks versus the Nets. Now, if you guys don't know, we swept them in the season series. It was tough. Not gonna lie, you guys played some lockdown D, and it really scared me. I was like, what the heck is this? Then at the end of the day, a dub's a dub. But that's who I want to see. I think we could easily beat you guys. Gentlemen sweep, I'll give you guys at least one win. 4-1, take it in 5. That's what I see. If you guys were to drop to the 6-6, right now you're the 4-6, so right now we wouldn't be in that bracket. The only way we would meet is if we met in the conference finals, if that were to happen. Now, that would be nuts. If we met in the conference finals, oh my God, New York would be buzzing. The whole like tri-state area would be going nuts if that happened.
Yeah, mainly for the Knicks though.
Yeah, okay. We got, don't worry. Nets fans will show up. Come on.
You know Jay Critch is showing up. So, you know, all the stars of New York.
Spike Lee will be there front and center going nuts. It'll be CC will be there. I know he's a big Nets fan too. So that'll be wild. See Malcolm Straits just go from like happy to just completely just drop. But yeah, but as Knicks fans, I'll go to you guys first. Who do you guys want to see, you know, the Knicks play to give you guys an advantage that like, okay, we have a shot of beating them and moving on to at least the second round of the playoffs. Malcolm, I'll start with you.
So as I said before, I mean, I don't really want to see the Hawks, which we are playing right now. They're the 5th seed. We're the 4th seed. I think the Hawks, you know, Trae Young can snap any day he wants. Clint Capella's having probably a career year. He's like averaging like 15-15. So he's really eating. And then they have John Collins in there too. So, you know, they're well-rounded and they picked up Lou Williams, who's, you know, he has playoff experience. He's been there before, so he's a dog in there, so he's willing to fight too. So I think they have a well-rounded team. But going to the Heat, we have a Heat fan who really gets on my nerves sometimes. But
let's talk about the culture.
Last year, they got to the conference finals, which was, yeah, good for them. Didn't think they were going to get there. I don't think they're going to get there again. But, you know, Jimmy Butler, he's a dog in there. Bam's a dog, but you know, some of the role players they have, like Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero feels like having an off year, kind of. He's like battling some injuries, and you know, they're shooters, you know, so if they're on, they're on, but if they're off, they're off. I mean, we did play them back to back this season and we did lose both games, but you know, if once the Knicks makes the playoffs, I feel like, you know, we are inexperienced in the playoffs right now. We only have like a few players that have actually played like games in the playoffs, but you know, I feel like that atmosphere, once it's MSG, we do have fans, so a decent amount of fans, so you know, that'll get the crowd buzzing and everything. So I'd rather see the Heat than the Hawks, in my opinion, but that's what I'd probably want to see. I don't want to see the Nets in the first round, no way. Like, I don't want to deal with that pressure right away, but my pick would be the Heat for right now.
What about you, Sean?
So right now, the only team I kind of would be scared of, kind of to go the opposite here of Malcolm, would be the Heat. We struggled a lot against the Heat in the regular season this year. And I know, you know, regular season is a little different when it comes to playoffs. But, you know, then again, us Knicks fans don't really know that much that well about the playoffs right now. You know, last time we saw the playoffs, J.R. Smith was a big piece of our team. So, and we had Melo, of course, mm-hmm. but, and the boy, Mon Shumpert. But anyways, you know, like I said, we struggled a lot against the Heat, but then again, we saw like Tyler Hero pop off against us, and he has not done much this season, to be honest. Jimmy Butler had a great game against us, or a great few games. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, if you put us against them in a 7-game series, I feel like we are the better team. But then again, you know, like I said, we struggled against them. So if I had to choose, I'd put them last on the list. I'd probably want to go against Atlanta because we've had a little bit more success against them. Pretty much anybody below us right now, I'm fine with going against in a playoff series. But, you know, if we get one of the top three, I know I was talking about earlier in the season how I'd like the Knicks odds against the Bucks, but you know how we've been playing recently against some of the bigger teams like the Nuggets and the Suns. I don't know. I might be changing my mind a little bit on that. Mm-hmm. And you know, we obviously had a big injury to Mitchell Robinson, and all of our centers are kind of having problems staying on the court. So I don't know. I think you give us a year and then we'll really be in the, you know, the conversation for, you know, making it deep into the playoffs. But I just like this year for, you know, okay, get some experience, maybe make it past a round and, you know, just, you know, build for the next few coming seasons.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you got to look at that. You got to spin in and positive, right? You got to look at the positive and just think to myself, all right, we should be fortunate that we're in this situation and, you know, and it could only go up from here, right? This is just the beginning, you know, of a great run that the Knicks will have, you know, and as a Nets fan, I hate to say it, but it's good that they're back in the playoffs and it's good that they're winning. You know, as LeBron said, it's great for the league at the end of the day. When the Knicks are winning, the league's in a better place. Now to get to your Sixers, Reynolds, you're the number one seed. You would get to play the winner of the play-in bracket.
The winner of the second play-in game.
So the 9-10, that's Indiana and Washington right now. Right now, again, it could all change in the coming weeks after this show airs. Who would you want to face?
Well, it'd be also the loser of the 7-8, correct? So that's Boston and Charlotte. I'm surprised none of you guys even mentioned the Celtics. Listen, I know the Celtics have definitely declined.
Yeah.
But to play against Tatum and Jaylen Brown, like, I don't want to play the Celtics in the first. I want to avoid the Celtics at all costs. Mm-hmm. I think we can still beat, we can easily beat the Celtics. Like, it's coaching. We don't have Brett Brown anymore. We have Doc Rivers, proven coach. Yeah. So I think we can beat them. But if I had to choose, I'd pick the Pacers. But I don't think they're good enough to even win that first game against the Wizards.
No.
So I guess in reality, to be honest with you, I think we're going to be playing the Wizards or the Hornets in the first round. The Wizards, listen, I'll have mad respect for Westbrook and Beal. They'll give us a run for our money, but they won't be able to contain us.
Mm-hmm.
The Hornets, we swept this year. Just like the Knicks, the Hornets haven't beat the Sixers in like the past 15 times we played them. Not really afraid of the Hornets. Yeah. LaMelo Ball's good. PJ Washington, like
Miles Bridges.
But you telling me that Cody Zeller is gonna stop Joel Embiid?
Oh yeah, no.
Please.
Yeah, no. I don't know. There's no way, you know. And also with Gordon Hayward, you know, out for the year, that's another that's a huge piece that they lost early on. So,
I'm only looking for one matchup, and it's playing against you. So.
Yeah,
that's the only matchup I'm looking forward to.
I think we have the biggest target on our back out of anybody in the playoffs right now, just of where we're at, what people have been saying about us for the last 2 years. You know, there's going to be a lot of pressure. You know, we've been kind of just coasting. You know, we dropped two against Milwaukee. That was kind of big because now we're kind of third instead of second in the conference. But as of right now, we're the third seed. We would play Miami.
Oof. That'll be a fun series. I'm not saying it's going to give you really much trouble.
I don't know. I mean, they could. I mean, look, if Bam Adebayo goes off, and like you said, if the shooters are on, you know, as Michael said, if they're on, they're on. It's hard to contain them because then they can go back and forth with us. That's the thing. If a team could go back and forth with Brooklyn, they could win. That's just all, because all we have is offensive aggression. If you could keep up with us, you have a chance of winning. Plain and simple. We play no defense.
So that's going to lead me to my next question. What are your biggest fears? I mean, listen, to be brutally honest, I think the Nets are still the favorite to win the East. And I think anyone can argue that. Like, as much as I think that the Sixers can do it, I don't think in a 7-game series that we could be able to keep up with you. You just outscore us. But there's definitely a lot of things that can expose you. So what are your biggest fears for the Nets?
Mine's more of our, you know, it's our interior presence. You know, I've watched games before where it's just not there. DeAndre Jordan just is not, you know, defending the paint well. You know, Claxton's done a good job, but like you said, he's young. He's got a lot to work on. He's a very raw, you know, raw talented guy. The thing that bothers me with Steve Nash is that, like, he doesn't go too much small ball and he puts Jeff Green at the five. Now, Jeff Green's a great player, don't get me wrong. That was a phenomenal signing that we did. Really is a great role player, having one of the best seasons of his career if you really look at his numbers. But he can't play a Draymond five. He just can't do it. He's not that big enough. He doesn't have that kind of skill set to really body people in the paint and really just, you know, just get physical with people. So that's my issue, is that Steve Nash will try to go small. I feel like it won't work at times. And when he puts in DeAndre Jordan, which he probably will at some points in these games, he's not going to – I don't think he's going to show up. I hope he does. There have been glimpses of it, but has been consistent. You know, I've seen Claxton play some superb defense over this last month. But, you know, he's just young, and I don't feel like Nash gives him enough time to enough time on the court, and that bothers me a little bit. So yeah, the interior D concerns me. It's going to concern me if and when we play you guys with Joel Embiid. It concerns me, guys, if we ever play you guys with Julius Randle and Nerlens Noel, because I'll be honest with you. I feel like Kevin Durant could probably contain Julius Randle to a certain extent, but Nerlens Noel, I mean, you know, I don't know how much DeAndre Jordan can really do. I mean, yes, DeAndre Jordan's more experienced than him, but I mean, at the end of the day, DeAndre Jordan to me is lazy. It's not what he was in the Clippers.
No, not. And I think
he was about to get kicked off the team if when LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, retired, like, or before he retired, DeAndre Jordan was like looking like he was about to be off the team soon. Like he was getting like no minutes or anything because I guess you guys are trying to play a little smaller. But now that he retired, it looks like he has more minutes. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't like DeAndre Jordan because, I mean, he was a Knick last year. So, like, he kind of could have brought everyone to the Knicks. But, no, he switched ships and went to Brooklyn. So I have some choice words for that, man.
Hey, he had the inside scoop. He told KD everything 2 years ago.
Exactly. All while he's a Knick. Like, what is that?
He's got to tell the truth. But obviously, that's changed in the last 2 years. So, be grateful for that, you know, because now you guys are becoming a hot spot.
Yeah.
AC, are you nervous about the Bucks?
I am. After these last two shows, I am nervous about the Bucks because, you know, because Giannis can go off. No one's stopping Giannis. Like you said, if you stop Giannis, you can stop the Bucks because Chris Middleton's not really – he's a two, but he's not like that two where it's like a two with like LeBron and AD or Kyrie, KD, or like a Embiid Simmons or an Embiid Harris. He's not – you know, if Giannis isn't on, there's a good likely chance that Middleton isn't on as well. They both have to be on to really click. But Giannis,
Drew Holiday has that capability of going off though.
Yeah,
I like that pickup for him.
Yeah,
I think the Bucks match up somewhat okay against you, right? So, which if you were look at matchups, right, I would put Drew Holiday on Kyrie.
Yeah.
Middleton on, I would say Middleton and Harden, but like in reality, like you probably, it would probably be DiVincenzo. Just see what you can do.
Yeah.
And then Giannis on KD.
Yeah.
But then when you look at it from your side, right? You would probably have to put DeAndre Jordan on Giannis, which is a matchup nightmare for you guys.
Yeah, because the paint's wide open.
But then they have Brook Lopez he's been more just a shooting.
He's more of a shooter. Now.
But if he puts himself inside, again, it's another issue.
Yeah.
And the Bucks do one thing that's something that you guys don't do is they defend well.
Yeah.
They do really well defending.
Yeah. It goes back to, you know, the players that they have and also the coaching. Because you got to remember, we have Steve Nash, offensive. I think he's more of an offensive minded guy. D'Antoni, offensive minded coach. And we have Amari Stoudemire as well. You know, I don't know how much defense he has played. Or he did play back in his heyday because I didn't really watch him. You guys could probably attest to this. Was he more of a – I'll ask you guys this, and then we'll go to break. Was Amari more of a defensive guy, or was he more offense than defense?
I thought he was more offense, but I have no idea.
Because
I think he was more offense, but he's a big body inside. So, you know, and we had Tyson Chandler at the time who was a D-boy, So he kind of carried our defensive load, but Amari he provides some decent defense. But yeah, he's definitely more of a scoring big, I'd say.
Yeah, and exactly, and that's why this team's more of an offensive minded team. There's really no defensive coach or person who's really instilling it. I mean, yeah, it could be Jeff Green at times, but I mean, you know, he's not a star player on the team. If he was, maybe it's a different story. But yeah, definitely you guys, the Bucks after this last week, they concern me. And then after that, I mean. Really, I mean, if we face New York, that could be concerning too. Just how locked down their defense is. You guys are ranked number one in the league, so yeah, it'd be those three teams for sure for me as a Nets fan. But we gotta take a break. When we come back, we'll look at more of the West, picture because that's more interesting in a sense. It's more competitive. It's more appealing than our lousy Eastern Conference. So we'll get into all that and more on the Sports Fever only on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7TheBronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com, live from the Ryder University Studios. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Sean Johnson and our two guests for the show, Ryan Reynolds and Malcolm Rountree. So in the last segment, we talked about the Eastern Conference playoff picture. We gave our thoughts about our teams and where they would stand, who we think they should play, who we want to play, actually. And I had a good time with that. Now it's going to get to the other conference, the Western Conference. It's a little bit more challenging, a little bit more competitive. I feel like it's going to be a lot more interesting because as of now, the one seed is going back and forth with Utah and Phoenix. They're one game behind one another, so that could really change in the coming weeks and change fast. We have the Clippers, Dom's team. They're third. They're four games out and three behind Phoenix, Denver as well. They're fourth. They're five games out, followed by Dallas and Portland. And as we mentioned, the Lakers have fallen into the play-in seat, so they're at seven. Then we have Golden State at eight, Memphis at nine, and San Antonio at 10. And San Antonio is the only one with a losing record in the playoffs. Everyone else has a winning record. So, you know, Ryan, I'll start with you. This is the more competitive conference. A lot more is probably at stake for a lot of teams. Obviously, Utah, they, you know, they played phenomenal this whole season. They look like favorites. The Chris Paul effect in Phoenix, and then we have, you know, the bottom teams like the Lakers who are playing in, and Golden State, teams that at one point were at the top and now are at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, all the first round matchups are going to be really good. Catch me on my couch watching all of those games. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's weird, like, seeing a different team be the dominant team in the West. Like, I mean, going in, I think everyone would have said the Lakers and Clippers and all that. Mm-hmm. But then you take a look, like, I thought Denver was a big challenger until they lost Jamal Murray. I think anytime you see Damian Lillard on the court, it's always Dame time, so you can always count on him to have a big series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about the Clippers. I keep going back and forth about them. Like, there's times where I can feel like they can do it. But at the same time, like, I don't know. They're just too inconsistent to me. And isn't Kawhi, if you correct me, Kawhi Leonard is playing through a foot injury he announced a couple weeks ago?
I believe so.
That could be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want Pandemic P. You want actual Paul George. He's been lights out this year. He's been great.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think the Rondo's important, but they have a well-built team. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I think for once, I think also if the Lakers get through that play-in game, that could be one of the most dangerous seven seeds to ever exist in the NBA. So it's going to be interesting. We'll see.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I feel like, you know, with the Clippers, right, you want to see playoff P, not pandemic P. And, right, the Kawhi Leonard thing, that's troublesome because, right, this is a team that was supposed to make it to the finals last year. They didn't make it to the finals. They're playing for their standards, they're playing okay. They should be favorites, but they're really kind of not because there's too many favorites now in the West. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, Sean, I'll go to you with this. The Chris Paul effect in Phoenix. How important is it for that team to really make a statement and possibly get the number one seed in the Western Conference and show people that this team is legit? And will this improve Chris Paul? Will he become the favorite for the MVP if they land the number one seed?
I don't think Chris Paul should be anywhere near the top for MVP, to be honest. He's a great player, but I think there's a lot of players doing better things than what he's doing in this season. Like I said, don't get me wrong, he's having a great season, but I mean, when you got guys like Jokic and Embiid, I mean, both those teams are also at the top too. And you know, Jokic, he's ridiculous. He puts up like a triple double with like no effort. I mean, looking at him play, I mean, just the shape that he's in, you know, really helps my NBA chances of getting there. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, okay. Hey, he lost weight though. Remember that? He used to be a chunky little. Yeah. He used to be a chunky fella.
Yeah, he loses it during the season.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about, but yeah, I think the Suns, you know, they're definitely making a big name for themselves. I mean, to go from a team that missed off on the playoffs, I mean, they missed off on the play-in game too. All they had to be was a 9 seed. They didn't even make that. I mean, I think the bubble performance that we saw from that team, we all were kind of like, okay, like, you know, they can make some noise next year. And when they went 8-0 in the bubble, and then here they are sitting at number one in the West, you know, I think they're definitely going to make some noise in the playoffs. Again, I don't know so much about that, that Chris Paul MVP, but I mean, I'd put him maybe, I don't know. Can you put him top five?
I would put him top five.
Easily top five.
I mean, you would put what? Embiid, Jokic, Paul.
Julius Randle.
Randle. And I can't
think. I mean.
Steph Curry.
Yeah.
You have
Steph
to.
Curry, yeah, Steph
put Curry.
Curry
at five.
I mean, I that's like no Curry order, but like,
Embiid,
yeah.
Embiid has fallen off a little bit in the last few weeks. Because he had that like week or 2 week span where he was just on fire. And that definitely helped his case, but since then, you know, he's cooled off, and, you know, cooled off in Steph Curry terms. He's still playing amazing, but. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that, you know, I think, look, you're right. That 8-0 run that they had last summer was great. It really put them on the map. But then there was like that what if that, like, okay, could have been just lightning in the bottle, right? We've seen that before all the time in sports where just like everything just clicks at the right time. We didn't know it was going to happen again. And then the Chris Paul trade happened. We're like, okay, well, he is older, but we don't, but he did play well with the Thunder. And now, obviously, he's playing well. It's leading to Devin Booker playing phenomenal and getting the recognition that he finally deserves as being one of the elite premier shooting guards in the NBA. So that's great to see.
Monty Williams is a great coach.
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you, coaching makes an impact on a team like that.
Oh, yeah.
Monty Williams is a fantastic coach.
Yeah, he's phenomenal, you know, and it really shows him that, like it's not, like...
I mean, he's got talent to use, but yeah. They added Chris Paul. Jay Crowder is a good vet, good role player.
Yeah, and we always forget about DeAndre Ayton.
And Mikal Bridges, mixed that up, has been the perfect 3-and-D guy for them. Mm-hmm. The Sixers traded him on the draft night for Zaire Smith. I'll never let that go. So
that's right. That is right. I remember that because his mother was employed by the Sixers, right?
He went to Villanova.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that because I remember, like, you got that, then, like, oh, a trade has happened.
Thanks,
like,
Brett Brown.
like, Jesus Christ. You know, but Malcolm, I'll go to you with this. You know, I'll pose this question to everybody. I'll start with you. What's the one shock you want to see from the West? Like, do you think of the surprise team that really will make some noise like the Suns did last year?
To be honest, as Ren said, the Clippers are shaky and Kawhi is playing with, I guess, a sore foot or whatever he's dealing with. And there's always a chance of playoff P. So, you know, and it's always Dame time. So I feel like the Trailblazers, you know, they're always fighting. They got Nurkic back, who's a big piece. Cantor's kind of been playing amazing as a backup. He was a starter, but now he's a backup. CJ McCollum came back off the injury. So I think they could pose some real problems for the Clippers. I mean, obviously they don't stack up, like, height-wise as, like, Kawhi and Paul George. I don't really know who would guard them, but you never know. If Trailblazers are hot, that could be a very surprise story. And then they'll either play looks like if the Suns get the second seed, they'll play the Suns or the winner of the 7-8. So I feel like they could possibly make a run. But I don't know. I'm still riding with the Suns. I like the Suns. I mean, in our fantasy draft, I took a risk and picked Devin Booker first round. Mm-hmm. Seeing that they went off in the bubble, I knew that the Suns were going to be good. Chris Paul, you know, Chris Paul effect everywhere he goes. People, you know, they get better, as you saw with the Thunder and the other teams. So, and DeAndre Ayton, I mean, this is like his first full, like, healthy season. So, yeah. You know, he's been a monster in eating. So I feel like that they could really make some noise. If they do play the Lakers first round, that's going to be a challenging matchup, I feel. So I'll have to see how I feel about that one. But I feel like, yeah, the Suns and the Trailblazers, I feel like they could make some real noise. And honestly, the Mavericks, if they get
Yeah, I was gonna say, what is everyone's thoughts on Dallas? Because they're kind of just there. I mean, Dallas is playing really well. Porzingis has been kind of on and off the whole season. And then besides them, I mean, they're kind of, it's a bunch of role players. They are winning. They are winning, though. They're, you know, 11 games over 500. But, like, how do you feel about them going into the playoffs? Because I don't think we're gonna see what we saw last year with Doncic and how he just took over the NBA that week against the Clippers.
Who would they play in the first round?
They would play Denver.
The Nuggets.
They don't have a big to really stop Jokic, but Porzingis. And Porzingis, if he can't stay healthy, they're going to toy with them.
Yeah,
but I think they'd send Zubac on him first, just because Zubac is a huge, huge guy. But
Zubac
plays for the Clippers.
Zubac's on the Clippers. They're not going
to play. Oh, yeah, I'm stupid. Never mind. Who do they have? Boban? Do they still have Boban?
They use Boban in some situations. I mean, they have Maxi Kleber too. They've got Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The Mavericks, like you just said, they're just there. I'm sure they're going to give whoever they play a run for their money.
But
I don't really have any high hopes for the Mavericks. The Mavericks still need another help for Luka.
Yeah, but the other thing, Porzingis, they thought it was gonna be a, it was gonna supposed to be this 2 point, this Dirk Nash 2.0 though, right? And he was gonna clearly try to keep that together, but I mean, Porzingis just can't stay healthy. He's not what he was during those couple years in New York. And right, as New York fans, you guys are probably glad that he's, you know, gone. You know, of what transpired over the last couple of years with him, the injury, him going back and forth. He's not really.
I mean, I still like Porzingis. I mean, when he is on the court, he does kind of ball out, but he just can't stay healthy. I mean, you always see it with the guys that are kind of like taller and lankier and stuff like that. You know, especially with their knees and their legs, it's kind of all the jumping and everything. And Porzingis, he does like to bang out. So, you know, that does affect your knees after a while. So, but. If Porzingis would stay healthy for a series or two, you know, I don't think they're going to make the conference finals or anything farther than that. But, you know, they might be able to get a few games if they're able to stay healthy. And, you know, Doncic is just ridiculous, man. Some of the shots, like that. When I saw that floater from, like, the three-point line for the win, like that's just ridiculous. He's just a different breed, honestly. So, you know, you just never know with him.
Yeah, and I say it every time. He's our age. And I'm just like, what the
hell? Yeah, no. Yeah, that's...
He's our age, but you don't think about that right now, right? Because it's weird, because we're at that age where, like, the players are like, were born when we were born, right? Zion is younger than us, right? Luka's the same age as us, right? Trae Young's only maybe, like, a couple years older than us by, like, two or three. So it's starting to become like that. And then we're getting to the time where, you know, players are going to become younger than us. I mean, it's going to be weird, you know, because you always think, right, they're always older than you and stuff like that. So that's just interesting to see. But before we go to break... Finals predictions. We'll write them down. We'll see who comes the closest. Sean, I'll start with you. Your finals prediction for the 2021 NBA Finals. Who do you have and who do you have winning and in how many games?
Oh, in how many games? Oof.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make a bold prediction. Hot take here. Hot take incoming.
Oh, God.
Sixers in six against the Lakers.
Wow.
Okay.
We still have the Lakers this year. Let it be known.
Sean has the Sixers in six against L. Okay. Malcolm, who you got?
All right. So I'm going to go on that train too and say the Sixers are gonna make it, you know, just especially because of last year. I mean, I think we're going to bounce back. And then for the West, I'm going to keep on rolling with Phoenix, man.
Okay.
That's going to be a bold one, too. I'm on the bold train. I'm just going to say Phoenix is going to make it.
Then how many games? Who wins?
I obviously think the Sixers are going to win that one. I'll say six games as well.
Okay. Reynolds, I know you got your Sixers.
No.
No?
Oh.
Like no. I said, I do not know if we can beat Brooklyn in a seven-game series.
Really?
But I think we... It's hard for me to put into words because defensively...
Milwaukee could beat them, though.
I know. But defensively, we are, like, really good. Like, I know the Knicks are number one, but we're just as good defensively. We have Ben Simmons, Matisse Thybul, Joel in the paint.
Tobias can lock up.
Danny Green's in 3-and-D, Seth Curry. And then our bench is loaded. George Hill, Shake Milton, Furkan Korkmaz, and Dwight Howard. Like, our team is loaded. I just do not know if we can beat Brooklyn. We can't outscore them. The only thing is going to be to stop them.
Yeah.
You have to slow them down as best you can.
That's true.
So, I'm going to take Brooklyn.
Okay.
Versus the Suns.
Okay.
And I'm going to go Nets in six.
Woo. Nets in six. All right. Wow.
Don't want to see that.
You know.
I didn't want to say it. I just. Right. As a Philly fan, too, what I've dealt with as a Sixers fan, I can never get my hopes too high.
Mm-hmm.
I take everything game by game. Like, tonight, I'm only focused on playing the Pistons. I mean, am I looking forward to playing the Nets in the playoffs? I want to beat you guys so bad. Because I know we can do it. But you got to take it game by game. So I'm going to be a realist and say the Nets.
Well, you know, I got Brooklyn. And I'm going to go with Utah. I'm going with Utah to come out of the West. And I got Nets in five.
Yeah, I can see that.
Nets in five.
So those are our hot takes. Those are our predictions. You know, this will come in handy in a couple of weeks when the playoffs start, and we'll keep you guys posted on our socials of how they're all doing. on our predictions. But we got to take a quick break. When we come back, is the fourth and final segment of the show. It's our lock of the days. Reynolds and Malcolm are here. They're going to win us that, maybe give some locks. And also we'll dive into a little bit of soccer, you know, talk about Man U, Arsenal, and this controversial Super League. All that and more in the final segment of the Sports Fever on 107.7 The Bronx and 107.7thebronx.com.
And we're back with this edition of the Sports Fever. Let's send it back to our hosts now.
.com live from the Ryan University studio. It's the Sports Fever. I'm your host, Andy Colasano. And alongside me today is Sean Johnson and our two special guests for this week's show, Ryan Reynolds and Malcolm Rountree. So for the majority of the show, we really talked about the NBA playoffs. As I keep saying time and time again, the season's slowly starting to wind down and playoffs are slowly start to be underway. So we thought it'd be a good idea to give a little preview, talk about our team standings and, you know, who we like and give our predictions, which we did in the last segment with our predictions for the NBA Finals. But it's the fourth segment. It's the lock of the day. Reynolds and Malcolm, like I said, they're here with us. They're big sports guys. They're big sports gamblers. You know, they've dabbled, won a lot of good stuff. Malcolm's really good with the soccer betting. His nickname in our chat is
Footy Locks.
Footy Locks.
Footy Locks.
Yeah, so, you know, he's got one of those. I have a couple locks in baseball I think that can hit. And Reynolds is currently trying to find one for basketball. And Sean, I don't know, you got to beat the streak. What's your beat the streak at? I haven't really talked to you about that. Or are you back at zero?
No. I had Justin Turner yesterday. And then the day before that, I had Byron Buxton and Xander Bogaerts. And they both got a hit. So
I've never doubled down. I'm always scared to.
I'm always scared to double down. I'm more of a one guy to get a hit.
They're a little risky. So I'll hit you. I'll go last, or depending on if Ryan gets a lock before I do, I'll go third or last, and I'll hit you guys with a beat the streak and a baseball lock.
I bet. All right. So I got my locks. So I guess I'll go first. So my locks are in baseball. It's for Sunday. I believe these games are starting in the afternoon, so get them in ASAP while you can. It would be Jacob DeGrom. You know, take the Mets. If you could do the whole game or just the first five, the first five was definitely a lock. They're playing the Diamondbacks. DeGrom, best pitcher in baseball, 2-2 record, but don't look at the record. Look at the ERA, 0.31. It's ridiculous. So take him and take the Tigers. They're going to be an underdog. Take the Tigers against the Twins. You could do final first five or you could do the whole game. Matthew Boyd is pitching. He's having a great season against Kenta Maeda. The Twins are struggling right now, so I do like them in the Sunday matchup against the Twins. I don't know who wants to go next, who's got their lock ready.
I can do it. I can do it.
Okay, you go, Ryan.
All right.
I'm going to go with two. I'm going to take the Celtics money line against the Heat. I don't like to take rival teams, but Celtics lost terribly to the Bulls last night. I think the Celtics are due to bounce back. That's an ESPN 1 o'clock game. And I'm going to take the Knicks to cover the spread against the Clippers tomorrow. Knicks are the best record against the spread. I do not think that the Knicks, I don't know if anyone can beat anyone, but I don't know if they can really, depending on who plays too for the Clippers, you never know who someone's going to sit out. I can't see the spread right now, but I think the Knicks can cover whatever it is.
I think so. Yeah, like I said, the Knicks, you know, in all of basketball and in all of sports, they have one of the best records when they're going against the spread. It's well over 500. I think it's like 65%, 75%.
And they're also good with the under, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number one defense in the league, you got to be good with the under. So, Malcolm, go to you next. What's your lock?
All right. So, as we said, you know, footy locks over here. So, I'm going to hit you with some soccer locks. I mean, this game's early in the morning on Sunday at 9. I mean, I don't know how much you'll win with this, so you kind of have to parlay it. But I'm going to choose my team, Manchester United, over Aston Villa. Manchester United have been rolling, just about to make it to the final. So, you know, we've been rolling. I don't know. We play a lot of games in the next coming week, so I don't know the lineup for soccer. The lineups come out like an hour before game time. So if you see the lineups, I would choose also maybe Bruno Fernandes to be involved in either with a goal or an assist, something like that. And then also the other team, I'm going to go with Sean and Ren's team, Arsenal. I'm going to say choose them to win over West Brom. They just suffered a pretty devastating defeat in the semifinals. So, you know, and they're fighting for a chance, you know, in some European play and stuff, so in the league. So I definitely choose them to hopefully bounce back against a weaker squad in West Brom. And if you see the lineups again an hour before, Aubameyang's been kind of cold lately, so hopefully he can make the stat sheet. Or their other striker, Lacazette, he's usually involved in some type of goal or something. So I choose one of those two. That's my footy locks.
And Sean, you got a lock. Beat the streak lock.
All right. So I know we were just talking about it, but I've got a nice little double down lock.
Oh, boy.
All right. So for the first part of the double down, we're going to go with Ronald Acuna Jr. He's going against the Phillies. He will be playing Vince Velasquez, and this is today, which is Sunday. He slugs against righties. He's a good righty hitter, so I'd like that matchup against him. And then I'm going to throw a little curveball here. I'm going to go Jesse Winker against Aaron Bell. Yeah, he's Jesse Winker. He kills righty pitchers. He's a big left-handed hitter. He's had a big spot for the Reds to line up so far this season, so I really like him. And now, there's a little questionable going with the double down, but this is the super questionable one. This one is, it's definitely, it's a little hard one here, but I'm going to go with the Diamondbacks money line against the Mets. DeGrom will be on the mound. Riley Smith is on the mound for the Diamondbacks. The Mets don't know how to support DeGrom. When DeGrom is on the mound.
Yeah, that's why I said the first five for the Mets.
First five.
Yeah. So I don't know. I have a feeling the Diamondbacks, all they need is one run. Not really. But, like I said, unless DeGrom hits two home runs tomorrow, the Diamondbacks.
All right. Okay, cool. All right. So we got that. So we got the Mets and Tigers for myself. Reynolds has the Celtics money line, the Knicks spread. Malcolm, he has the Man U money line, Arsenal money line, and he has a couple player props in there as well. And then Sean, for Beat the Streak, Ronald Acuna Jr. and Jesse Winker, both to get a hit, so double down on that. And then Diamondbacks money line for the entire game. So those are our locks of the day. Do what you want with them. Bet them. Don't bet them. It's not my money.
It ain't my money. I'm hitting the casino tonight, hitting the roulette table, so that's where my money's going.
Oh, boy. Oh, God. Remember. Gamble responsibly.
Yes, gamble responsibly, everybody.
So
we got never book $1,000 on blackjack,
and never go back to the ATM.
Come from a friend.
Once you go there once, don't go back again. If you go back there twice, you have a problem.
Yep.
So before we end the show, I want to talk about some soccer real quick. Reynolds, Sean, you guys are big Arsenal fans. How's the team looking? What are your thoughts on them? Anything going on with any of the leagues that they're in, or? What are your thoughts on them?
Sean, I'm going to let you go first because I have a lot to say. So go first.
Yeah, I know you definitely have a lot to say.
Oh, God.
So I'm going to start off with a disclaimer. I follow a lot of sports. I mean, I am on top of like five different sports. So if I had to say Arsenal would probably be at the bottom of that. I try to keep up with them as much as I can. But like, I've got the Rangers. I've got the Red Sox, the Cowboys, the list is on the Knicks. And Arsenal's probably sitting around four or five right there. But, as of late, they have not been looking too good. As Malcolm mentioned, we just blew an opportunity in the Europa League semifinals. We had an opportunity to go up against Man U in the final, and we just could not score a goal against I forgot the name of the team. That's how much of a disappointment.
Coached by our former manager, Unai Emery. You're already getting me started, so keep going, Sean.
Yeah, he put us in a hole just to beat us in the semis. So, yeah, I mean, Arsenal, it hasn't been looking good for them in the last few years. We never performed to expectations. I'd say the only, viable thing that we do well is winning the FA Cup, which is, it's our thing. But over the last few years, we're not consistent at all. I mean, we'll lose against some of the bottom teams in the standings in the Premier League, and then we'll keep it competitive against some of the some of the top teams sometimes. It's always nice beating Tottenham and stuff like that. But like I said, it's just very, very hard to keep up with them. And then to kind of get into what happened with the Super League, you know, it was kind of disappointing to see that Arsenal was one of the teams that was in that. You know, it was also obviously very controversial. You know, a lot of the fans didn't like it, including me and Ryan. You know, I thought it would have been cool to see a concept like that, but with all this stuff, like, you know, they couldn't compete in the World Cup, or they couldn't, you know, compete in Champions League or, you know, Europa League. You know, this is stuff that a lot of soccer fans look up to, and it's taken away some of the best parts of the game. So I'm glad that it didn't pan out. And yeah, I hope Arsenal has a brighter future than it looks for us.
Do you want me to go to Malcolm and then we'll end with you?
Sure.
All right, Malcolm, man, you. How are we feeling about them, what they're looking like, and how they're going to progress this summer?
Right now I'm absolutely in love with Manchester United. Last year, you know, we made it to three semifinal games, and, you know, we unfortunately lost all of them. But and we finished third in the league. But this year, nothing but improvement. You know, we got Bruno Fernandes, Portuguese guy. He's kind of totally changed our –
I said Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, Bruno Fernandes, as they say in FIFA. But, yeah, he's kind of turned around our whole franchise, really. I mean, we were already going in the right direction, but he kind of just, you know, amplified that a little more. We're second in the league, probably going to finish second in the league. As we said, I did want to play – I mean, I was kind of scared to play Arsenal. I'd rather play Villarreal in the final, but we're in the final. We're ready. Unfortunately, Manchester United did kind of beat up on Ren's other team, Roma.
You didn't win the second game. You didn't win the second game. Just remember that. You didn't win that one.
So, we won on aggregate as FIFA. You know, you play two legs. So, we won. But we're in. So, I really like it. But the problem that's going around Manchester United is our owners. Glazers out, which is, I mean, the Glazers, you know, they're kind of the owners of our team. They also own, I'm pretty sure they own the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, too. So, they're all over the place. But they really haven't been – they're not really about the sport. They're kind of just about money, just, you know, getting their pockets fatter and fatter instead of the clubs, because Manchester United is about, like, the working class, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of a problem. And as Sean said, the Super League, it was a nice concept, but just to see that players won't be able to play in the World Cup and other, like, domestic cups and stuff like that was kind of sad to see. And it kind of just, you know, affected the history of the clubs, you know. Some of these clubs, you know, they die for the leagues, they die for the competitions in Europe. So that was kind of a downer. And also, you know, some of the, like, soccer is so important because, you know, you don't always see the Barcelonas versus, like, the Bayerns. You know, that was a great matchup, even though Bayern killed. But, like, you only see those, like, once or twice a year, or not even a year, like, you know, once or twice every, like, 4 years or something like that. So that's what's so special about it. So that kind of killed it. I'm kind of glad that it went out. I mean, they're talking about fining the clubs. I don't know about fine. Maybe the clubs that are still in it.
They came up with the punishments yesterday, by the way.
Oh, they did. So, yeah, Ren could probably tell you more about the punishments. I guess there should be some punishments for, you know, not even talking to the fans or doing anything, kind of signing the deal and all that. But, you know, I like where Man U is right now, and I can't wait to see him on. I think we play the 22nd or something like that for the final. So, you know, I'll be ready with my Pogba jersey ready for that.
Reynolds.
Let's just put this straight. I am the biggest Arsenal fan, I would say, out of anyone here. I get up anytime there's a game, whether it's 7 a.m., 3 o'clock in the afternoon, if it's during a school week, I take time out of my day and watch the game. Because you know what? That's what my soccer club means to me.
Mm-hmm.
A team that can bring you happiness, it brings you sadness, because all those bad moments that you go through, because when the good ones come, you'll cherish those. But my club is rotten to the core. First of all, let's start with the owners. I don't know if you know, do you know Stan Kroenke, owner of the Los Angeles Rams, is also the owner of Arsenal. That man has not invested any money into this club. I read it, so yesterday the punishments came out that all Super League clubs, which Arsenal is included, had to pay $13 million into grassroots soccer, which basically, like, growing your like global academies and building up soccer players. And then we lose 5% sales revenue on what we make playing in European competition. I mean, 5% doesn't sound like a lot, but clubs get paid a lot of money to play in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Stan Kroenke has not been to an Arsenal game since the 2015 FA Cup final against Aston Villa, in which we won 4-0.
Oh, my God.
His son Josh is the one who runs the club.
That's not good.
So, when you don't, these owners do not care about the club. They do not. They want money in their pockets. They get money from me for buying kits. They get money from me from buying apparel. They get money from me watching it on TV. But we don't get anything in return. And what does that lead to? Terrible performances on the pitch. And it happens all the time. And I'm sick and tired of it that this club is just going down rather than going up. Every year, I tell myself, this could be the year, this could be the year. And it's not. It doesn't get any closer. It gets worse. When there's no investment from the owners to buy players, it doesn't work out. And now that we're not playing in European football, how do you attract football players to come to your club? I don't care if Arsenal's a world-class club, because which they are, one of the biggest clubs in the world who have had the greatest players, Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp, Patrick Vieira. But no, you're not going to come play with you if you're playing in the Europa Conference League in the middle of Belarus on Thursday nights. No one's going to want to do that.
Yeah, no, you got to play. You got to play in the leagues where it matters and where players want to play, I'm guessing.
And for you, Stan Kroenke, if you're listening, just get out of my club. You're ruining everything. And I hope the rumored Spotify owner, Daniel Ek, who is a diehard Arsenal fan, mm-hmm. is working on purchasing the club with the help of former club legends as an investment for the club.
But is he selling the team?
So as of right now, they're going to try and propose an offer that he might be willing to take. The first offer was 1.8 billion pounds. So you have to
convert
a little bit,
that.
There's a little bit of a conversion, but I believe that he won't take that offer, but at least you got to get the feet wet a little bit, figure out what he's looking for. I've heard it's going to be close to like $2.3 billion. It's going to be but the owners insist we're not going to sell the club. But if you're not going to care, then why are you owning the club?
Exactly. Yeah.
And then Super League, Jesus Christ. Why, what these clubs did, every single club, selfish. Selfish. As Malcolm said, like Man U's a working class like team. Soccer is a working class sport. These people live and die, breathe their football. People with tattoos all over their chest for their clubs. And I was telling you in the car, AC, that like this Super League destroys like the Cinderella stories. Like I told you a couple years ago, Leicester City was a mid-table, meaning like the middle of the standings team. Mm-hmm. Going into the season, their odds were 3,500-1 to win the league, and they won the league. Imagine that. But you're creating a Super League to exclude the big-name clubs. Well, first of all, how does Arsenal even deserve to be in that competition? We stink. Mm-hmm. How do we deserve to be in a Super League? That doesn't make any sense. And then let alone, like, when I went on a vacation once and I met a guy from England who's from Newcastle. Mm-hmm. Newcastle United right now are one of the like the bottom tier of English football. Mm-hmm. But in the early 2000s and the 1990s, they were one of the best clubs in England. They have one of the greatest strikers ever in Alan Shearer, who is one of the greatest Premier League strikers ever exists. And I asked him, what is your favorite game that you ever went to as a Newcastle fan? And he told me Champions League against Barcelona in the new camp. So by creating the Super League, you don't get those experiences again. Newcastle United to play Barcelona in the new camp, which is a stadium that holds 80 to 90,000 people in it, is an experience that you can never take away from someone. And that's what the Super League did. It's selfish. All these teams should be punished more because it's unacceptable. Disrespect to the fans. Didn't even ask for fans' opinion. Just randomly one day, we're forming a Super League. Not even the players knew. Not even the coaches knew. And like it's so disrespectful. I wish these teams got relegated or fined more. They definitely should. It's unacceptable.
And it's basically right in front of what you told me in the car. It's them becoming a franchise.
Yeah, they want to create this cool league so like everyone wants to make soccer a more global sport. Soccer is already the most global sport in the world anyway.
It is.
It's different from like for Americans that like I hate being disruptive. Like you don't understand soccer like fans do. Like we put time, effort, years of going, paying season tickets and going to games. Like, I mean, you do that here. Mm-hmm. But also, like, you travel for away games in foreign countries to play England, you play in Spain, you're playing in Germany, you play in Italy. These experiences that you can't take away from people. By doing the Super League, you just be facing the same eight teams. Like, yeah. What is so fun about that?
Yeah.
And also, I remember there was a rally. Chelsea was one of the clubs you joined too. And one of the signs says, we want our cold nights in Stoke. The backstory is there's an announcer one time, Stoke City is another club in England, but they're like in a second, third division.
Right.
And the announcer says, oh, it's just another cold, wet night in Stoke again. But like...
Oh, but they'll never get... God, yeah.
You do that, you lose that. I love playing against the big teams because that's how you really prove yourself. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like... I remember in the FA Cup a few years ago in Arsenal when we played a sixth division team whose pitches and their stadium only holds like 8,000 people. After the game ended, the fans stormed the pitch. Because they got to play Arsenal Football Club. That is the experiences that you're taking away by creating the Super League. Mm-hmm. You're excluding the people that don't have the financial backing to be a successful club.
Right.
And that's what as Malcolm's, this is a working class sport. This isn't a sport for the rich. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some owners that have a lot more money, but guess what? That money, you put it in, you do the hard work. It trial and error.
And that's what makes it so great.
And that's what makes soccer so great.
I understand it now. I get it. Yeah. And it makes sense.
That's my rant. Thank you very much. Welcome to my TED Talks.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense that, you know, that the whole league and you and many others are upset about it, because it really, it's ruining the integrity of what the sport was built upon.
Yes.
At the end of the day. And yes, by doing this, they're becoming sellouts. And that's not what soccer is about, now that I understand this more.
It's when you have Americans as your owners, that's what happens.
Exactly.
So money,
it's all
power,
money. It's money, money, power, money, hungry. I get that, and trust me, it's one of the reasons why many people, aka Dom, doesn't really watch sports as much.
No.
Exactly. But yeah, this is gonna do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. It was fun. Learned a lot. It was great having my boys on.
Make sure you follow the podcast. What's it on? Spotify, Apple. What other platforms is it on?
Google.
Follow them on Stitcher. Instagram. Follow them on Twitter. Someone runs your Twitter page, right?
Yeah, so we have that. Dom runs it, does an adequate job, but you know, he forgets.
Yeah, we're not in the last account, like, just didn't even.
Got to spread the love, baby. This is one of my favorite things to do, is come on this podcast. So thanks, AC.
Yeah, it was fun. First time on, and I enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Debate week. That's when it really goes ham.
What week? Debate week. Yes, we have bring back debate week, debate month in the summertime. We'll definitely do that again. But yeah, that's going to do it for this edition of the Sports Fever. And funny to say, this will be the last, this is the last show we will be doing as undergrads.
That's weird.
Shout out to all you graduates out there.
Yeah, shout out to all the graduates who are graduating next week and, you know, in this coming month. We all deserved it. It's been a rough year and a half with all the changes and adaptations we had to go through as students, but we did it. And we're coming out the other end in the light of the tunnel and getting our diplomas and moving on to the real world. Scary, yep, but fun. It's a new challenge to embark on for all of us. So the Sports Fever is still going to continue on. Don't worry. There might be some changes along the way in the summer. We will keep you updated on that with everyone's schedule changing and all that and the other. But that's going to do it for this episode. If you want to follow us on our socials, you can. The Sports_Fever on Instagram, Twitter, The Sports Fever 1. You could give us an email at thesportsfever@gmail.com. And like you said, you can follow us on all the podcasting platforms, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, Pocket Cash, you name it, we're there. Go to my link tree. Links in my bio on my Instagram, AC1126. And like I said earlier, on our Sports Fever account. But that's going to do it. Be sure to tune in about in a couple weeks. We're going to take a little break. Graduation is coming up, so we won't be having a show next week, unfortunately. But stick around. There's going to be a lot more content to come from the Sports Fever. So stay tuned for that. And thank you for listening on the Bronc. It's been a pleasure. And hopefully I'll continue to be on. We'll see. If not, check us out on the podcast. But that's going to do it for us. Take care and enjoy your Sunday.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Sports Fever. Be sure to subscribe to our channel and be on the lookout for new episodes Sundays from 12 to 1 on 107.7 The Bronc, and also on every podcasting platform you can think of.